Hallelujah. Christ has risen from the grave. That's our song today, Easter morning. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. That's our song tomorrow. And all throughout eternity, our song will be the same. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Today, I've got some good news. Good news for you. Good news for me. Good news for all that can hear my voice. Good news in the midst of these days of fear. The coronavirus has got the attention of the whole world. And maybe you're facing real anxiety. In fact, there's no maybe about it. All of us have during these last 3, 4, 5 weeks. In these days, when economic fears are real, when health fears are real, a friend of mine, we're talking at a distance yesterday in that beautiful day, and praise God, in Oregon, he's given us such beautiful weather during this lockdown. But we were talking, and he said, ultimately, the fear is the fear of death. And I thought, it's well said. Well said. I don't know what state of mind you're in right now, but I can tell you I've got good news. It might just be the lockdown blues you've got, you know, because I think we've all experienced a little bit of that. But in a day when there's plenty of bad news from the lockdown, when it started to occur, each day it seemed like further restrictions to body bags and refrigerated trucks in New York City serving as morgues, to endless death statistics. We've had plenty of bad news. But today I want to announce good news. And the news media is relentless, you know, 24-7. A news alert, breaking news from CNN, Fox. I'll tell you what. I have good news, and it's an alert. It's a bulletin. Pause everything. Good news. Really good news. I know real good news may not be correct English, but I think you get my thought. This is real good news. Really good news. And it's not that the death curve looks like it's maybe slowing. As thankful as I am for the bits and scraps of good news, and we're praying for that. We're asking God to stop this epidemic, and we're praying for that. And when we see signs of good news, we praise God for that. But I'm not talking today about a death curve slowing. No, much better than that. Today, I announce, I proclaim, I herald good news that is much better than that. 2,000 years ago, plus or minus a few years, you know, on this day, the first day of the week, some women came to a cemetery all by themselves. There was nothing left to do but anoint the body. They'd prepared spices and perfumes. It was a day of fear, loss, hopes dashed, anxiety, sadness. And they came to the tomb. 23 days ago, I got a text, March 20th. My friend of 54 years, second baseman on our baseball team back when, I got a text from his wife. He died. I texted her, and I said, I'm so sorry. And I tried to put into words some comfort. A little while later, I phoned her. And she told me how it had been, that there were only just a few allowed to even be at the graveside. It was a lonely, heartbreaking time. That's much the scene that I read in the Gospels. All four Gospels give this account, but I'm reading from Matthew. These women came, they were heartbroken. They'd experienced loss. And all I said, as I said, all they could do is prepare the body, perfumes and spices to try to stave off the decay of death. And when they got to the tomb, an angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who's been crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Hallelujah! Christ is risen from the grave. Praise Yahweh. Hallel. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Praise the Lord. Jesus is risen from the grave." Now, I want to announce this. I want to herald this. I want to proclaim it as widely as I possibly can this morning, because it is really good news. And by that, I mean it's not just good news. It's, we say, good, better, best. This is the best news that I'm announcing today and that is being announced all around the world today. It's good news. It's great news. It's the best news for the hospitals, for the ICU units, for the economy. No matter where you're at, no matter what your concern is, I've got the best news. You say, "Scott, what is it? Is there a cure? Did they find a medicine, a drug, a therapy that restores breathing, that restores the damage done?" No, no. Much better than that, this good news. Well, you say, "Well, then, is there a vaccine?" That'd be good news. We're all praying for therapeutic medicine. We're praying for a vaccine. Is it a vaccine? The FDA rushed it through and they've tested it and it works and it's safe. That'd be good news. But this news is so much better than that. You say, "Well, what is it? Both? I mean, we need both. We need a therapy, we need a cure, and we need a vaccine." That'd be great news to get both. But you see, a cure for coronavirus, even a vaccine, would merely postpone death. The news we have is so much greater than that. I want to tell you the best news. Hallelujah! Christ has risen from the grave. This Christ, this Jesus, said, "Because I live, you shall live also." He said, in a graveyard, amazingly, in John chapter 11, when there was weeping and mourning all around him, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies." What triumphant words. Right before he called Lazarus from the grave. But you know, in between, when he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies." And before he said, and he had them remove the stone, you remember. And then he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus was raised from the dead. He'd been dead 4 days. They were concerned about the decay. But between those two scenes, and it's the same scene really, but I say between those two statements, I read that Jesus wept. This triumphant, majestic Savior who conquered death and was able to raise Lazarus from the dead entered into the grief and the pain of the loved ones. He's still that way. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He knows your situation. He told us to weep with those who weep. And I read that he wept in that scene. But this Jesus conquered death. Paul wrote his last letter And he said, he abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, the good news. That's what gospel means, good news. I'm announcing gospel, good news. He abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through this good news. You say, well, whoa, explain it. Let me explain. Better yet, better than me explaining, let God's Word explain. I want you to take a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, take your phone and Google. But turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to look today at a very clear explanation of this good news. Chapter 15 of Corinthians is one of the longest chapters in the New Testament. We're not going to read the whole chapter. We're just going to read the bookends. It begins with the gospel, and it ends with the result of the gospel, the good news. The gospel is that Jesus Christ arose. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. The result is that death is defeated. So we're just going to read the bookends of the chapter. I'd encourage you to read it on your own, maybe this afternoon. Reread it later this evening. Enjoy this chapter of resurrection. It's one of the longest chapters because it is about such a huge subject, the gospel. Well, let me read it, verses 1 through 4. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, just like the Scriptures said. That's the gospel. He said, I make known to you of first importance this gospel. Then he explains it more thoroughly, gives many of the ramifications, and then I turn over to the bookend, the end of the chapter, and listen to these words, starting at verse 54 of Corinthians 15. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. No wonder believers all around the world today say, He is risen. He is risen indeed. We rejoice. We celebrate. We say, hallelujah. Christ is risen from the dead. Now, let's look at it more carefully. I want you to just look at verse 3 and 4 where he explains the gospel. And as I said, this is Scripture explaining. This is the Holy Spirit who moved upon the Apostle Paul to write this. And this is the very Word of God we're hearing. I delivered to you as of first priority the one thing I wanted you to hear, what I also received, that Christ died. Scott, here you are talking about death again on Easter. Yeah? Death is real. Death is ugly. Death is fearsome. My friend yesterday who said, ultimately, what's behind this great fear is the fear of death. And I assented. Death is real. It's ugly. It's fearsome. Yesterday, I got a WhatsApp text from Ethiopia. A dear friend, a co-laborer, many of you know Aramaeus in Ethiopia, co-laborer in the leader in the Romans Project that so many of you have prayed for, where we're seeing so many hundreds of pastors equipped and encouraged in the Word of God. And Aramaeus has been such an encouragement to us. Well, I got a text from him, and I immediately wanted to read it, and I want to read it to you. This was yesterday. The day before yesterday, Aramaeus writes, was a heartbreaking day for us. Two of our co-laborers, Asepha and Mizkanah, and Asepha's firstborn son were shot and killed by rebellion groups in the western part of the country. Asepha was a very active leader in the Romans Project. Asepha recruited and trained many pastors and church leaders. He was the one who introduced the Romans Project in the western part of our country. Yesterday, both of them were buried. It is heartbreaking for us, he writes. He goes on, pray for Asepha's wife. She lost her husband and her firstborn boy in one day. Pray for us. Most of us could not attend their funeral ceremony because of the COVID-19 ban. Oh Lord, right now we just pause and we pray for Asepha's widow and loved ones. And we pray for comfort from you. We praise you that for 72 hours now, her husband and son have been whisked into your very presence, because to be absent from the body is to be at home with you, Lord. But we grieve, and we want to grieve with her. We want to weep with those who weep. We don't grieve without hope, but we pray that you would especially be real to her and comfort her. We praise you that you're the God of all comfort, the Comforter, the very name of your Holy Spirit, Father. We pray for Aramaeus and the rest of the team as they absorb this loss. Oh, encourage them, Lord. And we praise you that this gospel that Asepha and his son and a co-worker gave their life for is the gospel of victory over death and resurrection. We pray this would be very real in his loved ones' hearts, and we praise you that the three of them are enjoying your presence right now. Just as sure as Jesus is there, they're there. Because I live, you shall live also. We pray in the name of a risen Savior, Jesus. Amen. This morning, I awoke early, and I still had this on my mind. And I went outside under what's now a half moon, and as I was absorbing this hard news, I thought back to Good Friday 4 years ago, and Easter 4 years ago. My own dad was rushed to the hospital. They didn't think he was going to make it to the hospital. It was his final illness. And he did make it to the hospital. And he rebounded just enough so that we thought, wow. And actually went home that night. And I got a call in the middle of the night, about 2 a.m. as I recall, to come on up here. And I jumped in the car. My brother and I, he'd come up from Eugene. And we went up to the hospital, not knowing what we were going to find. Dad was there. He was alert. And it was my brother, myself, my dad, and the good doctor. And I say the good doctor because it was 2 a.m. and he was there with compassion and care. And the four of us talked about the prognosis. And it wasn't good. There's really nothing left they could do. And I was trying to say, what should I say? And I was trying to say something to Dad. And I'll never forget. He looked me in the eye, and it just like I was his young son again. And he said, "You've got to be ready for your departure." And I'm ready. I'll never forget those words. "You've got to be ready for your departure." And I'm ready. I wonder if you are. Christ died. That's the first thing he says. But notice it goes on. Christ died for our sins. Why did he die? Because the wages of sin is death. The result of sin is death. The day you eat of that tree, Adam, you shall surely die. The soul that sins, it will die. God has made this clear throughout Scripture. But wasn't Jesus sinless? Didn't God offer his unblemished lamb? Jesus thought no sin, spoke no sin, did no sin. He was without guile. Yes, he was the sinless one. But he willingly laid his life down for you and me. The sinless one died for sinners, the just for the unjust. Scripture states it over and over again. Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. I'm quoting 1 Peter 3:18. Paul put it this way in Corinthians 5. He, God, made him who knew no sin become sin, so that we, who knew nothing about righteousness, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him, 2 Corinthians 5:21. The New Testament quotes that great prophecy in Isaiah. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. 1 Peter 2:24. Christ died, but look at the text. Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, just like the Scripture said he would. Isaiah wrote 700 years, and so did all the Hebrew prophets. It's an amazing book, this Bible. But they prophesied what was going to happen. And Isaiah wrote in that 53rd chapter, "Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. He was pierced through for our iniquities, and the chastening for our well-being fell upon him. We esteem him stricken, smitten of God. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him." News alert. Bulletin. Christ died for our sins just like God said he would, just like the Scripture said he would. But that's not all. Look at verse 4. He was buried. Why did he say that? Because he really died. God didn't just snap his fingers to bring salvation. God didn't just say, "I love you." God acted. He became man. Since the children share in the flesh and blood, Hebrews 2:14 says, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. God became man. That's why the first words out of the angels' mouths when Jesus was born, that we celebrate at Christmas. Don't be afraid. I've got good news of a great joy. God became man so that we could be set free, not only from death, but the slavery of the fear of death. people are saying, what's worse, the cure or the illness, you know, the fear that's going around. I had one lady tell me, she said, I almost wish I just could get this thing and recover so I'd have it behind me and I could help others. Some of the waiting for this has been fearsome itself. Jesus died. He became man. He was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He was buried. The sky went dark at noon. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? When my sin was placed on the sinless one, the sky went dark. God turned his back on his son, so to speak. Jesus cried out, quoting that messianic psalm, my God, why have you forsaken me? The veil of the temple that separated man from God was torn in two from top to bottom. They speared him in the side. They couldn't believe he was already dead, but they said he is. And they jammed a spear in his side and blood and water gushed out. He died for our sins. He was buried and he said, it is finished. The death that he died to sin once for all. Death no longer is master over him, Romans 6 says. He will never die again. But don't miss the most important phrase in this gospel, this good news, this bulletin of news. Don't miss verse 4. He was raised on the third day, just like the scripture said he would. Hallelujah! He not only died and was buried, he rose again. And all throughout eternity, our song will be the same. Hallelujah! Christ is risen from the dead. Are you sure, Scott? I mean, that seems too good to be true. Listen, we're rightfully skeptical in life. We've been let down. I've so appreciated Dr. Fauci and Birx and some of their healthy skepticism, because medical people know that there's rumors, there's myths, there's wives' tales, there's the placebo effect. We want to wait till the studies are in. We want to know for sure, they're saying. And I understand that to some extent. Although I tell you, I won't go into it. I'll just simply say, I understand the reasonable skepticism when I say, I've got good news. You might say, really? Are you sure? How can you be sure Christ rose from the dead? Thomas was like that. When the other guys saw Jesus and spent time with him on the first Easter night, Thomas wasn't with them. And when they said, we've seen the Lord, they were rejoicing. He said, I'm not going to believe it unless I see it. In fact, unless I put my finger, I saw him. I saw him drive the nails. I saw the blood and water gush out. He's dead. Unless I can put my finger in his hands or my hand in his side, I will not believe. We call him Doubting Thomas. In John chapter 20, Jesus came to them again. This time Thomas was with them. And he turned to Thomas and he said, Thomas, my hands, my side. And Thomas fell on his face before the Lord Jesus, the God of the universe. And he said, my God and my Lord and my God. He worshiped this risen one. Do you? I know. People have let you down. False stories have let you down in life. But I'm telling you, Jesus Christ will never disappoint you. That scripture reading we read in John 10, or Romans 10, he who believes in him will not be disappointed. Are you sure, Scott? Yes, I'm sure. Hundreds. In fact, if we were to go on in Corinthians 15, he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 eyewitnesses at one time. Our Lord made it abundantly clear. He spent 40 days giving them many convincing proofs. He arose. Thousands have found him to be their joy. Millions in Ethiopia, in China, in Africa, Asia, South America, Portland. Millions have found Jesus Christ to be their risen Lord and Savior. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But I can tell you even more personally, I have found him to be the risen one. I put my faith in him when I heard the words, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life." And with fear and trembling, I put my faith in Jesus Christ, and I was given eternal life. I found him to be the anchor of my soul, the joy of my life, and the one I can trust my eternity to. No, I'm sure. But even better than all those witnesses, and even better than my own subjective experience, God himself has declared with power that Jesus Christ is the Son of God by raising him from the dead. That's how Romans starts. When Paul wrote the gospel to the church at Rome, and it's one of the best pieces of literature in all the world, he just explains this good news. And he said, this gospel of God was promised beforehand. It concerns his Son, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. He was man. He was declared with power to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. And Paul went throughout the Roman Empire proclaiming that. So did the rest of the apostles, and so do we. Christians are all around the world telling this good news today and tomorrow and every day, because every day is Easter for we who know him. We don't wait for one day of the year to celebrate. We celebrate and proclaim him every day. Paul stood up at Athens, that sophisticated PhD city. You know, there was just scads of scholars and skeptics of all sorts, and Paul stood up in their midst. In fact, they asked him to, because they heard he was talking about this Jesus and the resurrection. And he said, I notice you got a lot of gods here, but you've got this one that you call the unknown God. Let me tell you about him. And then he declared Jesus and the resurrection. And I'm quoting out of Acts 17. I would encourage you to read it. At the end of his message, he said, God is now declaring to all men everywhere that they should repent, because he's fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. I'm sure he rose because God furnished proof to all of us by raising him from the dead. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the dead. I mean, this is victory. You know, World War II, I've seen that old newspaper headline, "Victory!" exclamation point. This good news is good news of hope. Hope is certain in the Scripture. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us. This good news is good news of joy. Though you have not seen him, you love him, Peter wrote. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Hope, joy, peace. These things I've written to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you've got tribulation, but take courage, Jesus said. I've overcome the world. Hope, joy, peace, life. This is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, Jesus prayed. I wonder, are you ready for your departure? I want to tell you, joyfully, I can tell you, that my friend of many, many years, second baseman on our team, about 20 years ago, he put his faith in Jesus Christ. And for what, 23 days now, he's been in the presence of the Lord. Asepha and his son, and Mizgannah in Ethiopia, for 72 hours now, they've been in the presence of the Lord. My dad was ready for his departure. And for 4 years now, he's been in the presence of the Lord. Are you ready for your departure? You know, I didn't finish that story. That was the middle of the night. The next morning, I was there at the bedside when the same doctor came in, the same good doctor. And he was explaining to Dad, you know, how these last few moments, these last few hours, and he was right, it was just a number of hours left. He was explaining how it would be. And he was so compassionate. And he said, "Do you have any other questions?" And my dad said, "I have one more question." And the doctor said, "Sure." And Dad looked the doctor in the eye and he said, "If you were to die today," and the doctor went like this, "You're the one dying here." He didn't say that, but you could just see it on his face. Dad said, "If you were to die today, how certain are you that you'd go to heaven?" And the doctor was a captive audience. He said, I don't think he'd ever been asked that by a dying patient. He said, "Well, I think probably 75%. My dad said, "Suppose you and I were getting on an airplane to fly from Portland to Chicago. And the pilot came on and said, 'Hey, it's a good day today. We're headed east for Chicago. 75% of the time, we make it to Chicago.'" And the doctor kind of chuckled. And Dad said, "Would you get on that plane?" And he said, "No." And Dad said, "Neither would I. This is more important than whether you make it to Chicago or not." And on Dad's dying day, he looked that doctor in the eye and said, "You got to be ready for your departure." And he explained this simple gospel. Are you ready for your departure? I want us to bow in prayer right now. And if today you have heard this good news, it's sunk into your ears and into your heart, you can simply tell the Lord. You can receive this free gift of salvation. You can tell the Lord something like this: "Lord, I'm a sinner. I thank you that you died in my place for my sin. And I praise you that you rose again. And I gladly ask you to come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Change me from the inside out. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Oh Lord, this morning I praise you that you never turn a sinner down. And that when we come in Jesus' name, we have access right to you, the throne of grace. And so we praise you today as the risen one who died for us and rose again, never to die again. And I pray that you would assure the heart of each one who prayed that prayer with me, that you indeed are the one who came to seek and to save the lost. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you just prayed that prayer, if the tone of your heart is, "Lord, I want you to be my Savior," he knows your heart, and he never turns a sinner down. Easter 2020 would be a great day to begin your life with him. And if just now you asked him to be your Savior, you have eternal life right now. And you'll grow in that relationship, and I want to encourage you. In fact, during these days, I've been making a 3-minute video available each day. Just an encouraging thought from God's Word each day. And I'd love to send it to you. So if you would like, you can just email us here at the church. The email address is right on the screen, swbible@swbible.org. I'll get it right. You'll see it on the screen. swbible@swbible.org. And if you just let us know, we'll send you that video each day. And it'll be not just encouragement from me, it'll be right from the Bible. A 3-minute video of encouragement as we celebrate and sing to our risen Lord once again.
Soon we're soldiers watched in the grave. Was borrowed for 3 days. His body there would not remain. Our God has robbed the
Those questions Scott ended with are such a great way to personalize Easter. I just want to repeat them and really let them sink in. Are you ready for your departure? And if you were to die today, how certain are you that you're going to heaven? Those are a great, great way to personalize Easter, because the glory of Easter is that if you believe in Jesus Christ, you can be 100% certain that you're going to heaven. And in fact, if you prayed with Scott to receive Christ today, we want to congratulate you, because like Scott said, this is perhaps the greatest Easter you've ever celebrated. You are now a child of God, and we would encourage you, tell someone about it. Tell those that you're watching this with, or call someone and tell them, and definitely let us know. Again, please email us here at the church. The email address is on the screen, and we'd love to find out that you have come to know Christ. We would also love to send you those videos that Scott will be putting out this week. And so please email us here at the church. The email address is there on the screen. In a moment, we're going to finish our time with a question for at-home discussion and personal reflection. But before we conclude, I want to invite everyone back to a special Zoom prayer meeting tonight at 7 o'clock. In fact, if you go to our website, swbible.org, and click on prayer, that'll take you to a landing page that has links to all of our Zoom prayer meetings that happen throughout the week. But tonight, if you go there and you click on the 7 p.m. Zoom prayer meeting, you'll go to a special time. And we're excited about this one because we have a panel of doctors and nurses from our congregation who will be sharing with us the unique challenges for healthcare workers during this time and the present conditions in our community and in our hospitals. And then we'll have the opportunity to break into groups and pray with them and pray for them. And so we would invite you to join us tonight for that. If you haven't Zoomed into a Zoom meeting before, we would encourage you to do that ahead of time. It takes a little bit of setup, and you need to download some software. And if you haven't logged in the last few days, you need to update your software. They've been updating the software with new security measures, so make sure you give yourself enough time. So when we conclude, a question will remain on the screen. And we want to encourage you to spend some time with your family or roommates that you're watching this with. Or if you're watching this by yourself, give someone a call. Call someone that you can talk through this question with. Or simply spend some time by yourself reflecting and praying and journaling and talking to God. And so the question you'll see on the screen is, why is the resurrection of Jesus such good news for you? It's what we celebrate today. In fact, we've been using the word unprecedented a lot during this unprecedented time during a global pandemic, and it's appropriate. It is unprecedented. Normally, I would be inviting you to join us in the lobby for hors d'oeuvres after this, but I can't do that. I could invite you to go to your kitchen and see what you can find, but I don't know what's there. But here's what we want to do. As we celebrate during an unprecedented time, the great thing about Easter is it's the most unprecedented act in all of human history, that God would take on human flesh and dwell among us. And that at one point in human history, he would dwell among us full of grace and full of truth. And it is unprecedented that God would come not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many by bearing our sins on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, because by his wounds we are healed. And that's what we celebrate today. So happy Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed.